Get right into it. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the chance once again to gather in your house and open your word. Please help us as we open your word to understand what is read and what is preached, and help us to be able to apply that to our lives. And most of all, help us to be able to share that with others so they also can come in and receive the blessings that you have in store for them. And most of all, that treasured gift that you have freely available to all those, that salvation, the chance to be able to become part of the family, an adopted one of yours into the family of God, joint heir with you, looking forward to eternity. We thank you so much for the opportunity. Lead, guide, and direct everything in this service as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. It's an old saying, there's no two ways about it. Or either on one side of the fence or you're on the other side of the fence. Or basically, it's you are either for Jesus Christ or you are against him. The world would have you to believe there's a lot of choices, there are a lot of various ways, a lot of pathways to get to heaven or get to paradise or whatever they titled their paradise in their religion or in their belief. Even the secular world, that you become part of the universe, that you become one with nature and so forth. And some of them believe in reincarnation, where you start out as one of the lower life forms, such as the simpler life forms, and you progress as you go through the ages. And if you do well, then you move on up to another level. So if you started out as some bug or something, you might make it on up to an animal. And if you're an animal, you might be a rat for a while, and then you can go on up to even up to a cow. And if you're a cow for a while, you're worshipped and praised. And then come as a human, and then from a human you move into enlightenment and another stage, and eventually you become godlike. Some of the Hindu religions believe such a thing. Others believe that you have past life experiences that you have lived over and over, that your energy never ends, that you come back as someone else, and that you've had other life's experiences in the past. They even have movements where people are hypnotized and go back and remember things of their past life. Think, how can they know such details or such facts about another person's life some 100 years ago or 200 years ago? And intricate details, they're like, why would they know and understand these things? It's simple. If a demon or a demon possession, a demon that's been around since creation, has all kinds of knowledge and information that could be given to someone to have this information to where they would be confused on whether they lived another lifetime or something. The demon that they're possessed with, sure, he's been around a long time. He's got a lot of information. Ungodly things, things that are designed to pull you away from worshiping Jesus Christ. There's a lot of this in the world. And of course, one of the most profound ways that we see this is the belief in evolution versus creation. Basically, Christian versus non-Christian. The non-Christians are the evolutionists, the ones that do not believe that Jesus Christ spoke everything into existence. But in the middle there, you've got fence sitters, people that are so-called Christians that believe in evolution. But yes, evolution took place because the scientists say that it did. God must have just had his hand in it and he controlled all of it, is the way they try to rationalize it. They give man authority over God and give man's word authority over God's word. So are they truly Christian? Can a true Christian who believes and trusts in Jesus Christ and is filled with the Holy Ghost ever believe something as stupid as evolution? And it is stupid. If you look at the true basis of evolution, if you look at the teachings of evolution, if you go back to the origin of it, if you look at all the details, the way that it just, the more you study it, the stupider it gets. There's even scientists that are finally coming to the realization that it's a dumb theory to begin with, and coming out of that. So what have they done? They've come up with another theory. Well, we were planted here by aliens. There you go. You got a supreme being on another planet, universes away. So they come up with that. No, and there is no way that everything that we see in existence could have come about by random chances over billions of years. It's impossible. It's, as I said, stupid. You can't go take a warehouse full of building materials, all kinds of light fixtures, plumbing fixtures, lumber, carpet, everything in this big warehouse, and go in there and put a bomb in the middle of it and blow it up and think that all the pieces are going to land and have you a beautiful three-bedroom home with all the details and trimmings on it. But that's what they believe when they believe in the Big Bang Theory. It's just plumb stupid. But I don't want to spend much time on that. The Word of God tells us clearly, either with Jesus Christ or against Jesus Christ, in Psalm 19, verse 1, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork." You can look out into the universe and see God. Just open your eyes, and it's so clear. "A day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard." That's an awesome part of this psalm here. Everybody in the world, every language out there, can receive the message of the Trinity, Father, Son, the Holy Ghost. God, His creation, it's being spoke in every language throughout the world by His creation itself, by the Holy Ghost. So you can't say, well, it's only the people that can understand the King James Version that can understand and know the true relationship with Jesus Christ. No. Yes, the King James Version is the best English translation out there, in my opinion. But does that mean if you do not have the King James Version of the Bible that you cannot come to realization of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? It doesn't mean that. The Holy Ghost is going to get the job done. He's going to spread the gospel in whatever language, whatever translation He has to utilize to get the word out there, because as it says, His word shall be preserved. Man's attempt to dilute it or to change it through these altered translations and so forth cannot cover up the truth that is in the Word of God. He will see to it that His word is delivered. And that's the awesome thing about it. Man can't even mess up the word of God or the work of God. In Matthew chapter 12, let's pick it up here in verse 22. Some Pharisees wanted to try to convince people, even themselves, that Jesus Christ was not who He is, that He was not the true Son of God, come down to take on flesh, live amongst men, do miracles in front of them. So they did a horrible thing in this, as He tells us. Matthew chapter 12, verse 22. "Then was brought unto Him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and He healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, Is not this the son of David?" Speaking of Jesus. "But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, This fellow doeth not cast out devils but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils." Claiming that the work of the Holy Ghost through Jesus Christ right there at that time, the healing was of Satan, not of God. "And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand?" Pointing out the illogical conclusion that they have come up with, that this is Satan casting out demons. "And if I, by Beelzebub, cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges." Point out, he's not the only one that has been able to demonstrate this power of God and cast devils out. "But if I cast..." Which man just read that one. "Or else how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad." He sums it up right there with that verse, and it is so simple and it is so powerful. that can be applied in so many areas of our life. If Jesus is not in it, it's not of Jesus, so therefore it's antichrist. You're either with him or you're against him. There is no in between. There is no sitting on the fence. You can't have it both ways. You can't say, yes, I trust and believe in Jesus Christ. I believe the Word of God. Oh, by the way, I think I'll implant some of the knowledge of man in the middle of this and believe that also. That don't work that way. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Simple. Simple words that anyone should be able to believe. They don't want to believe it. They cover their eyes. They plug their ears. They don't want to hear that. Over in the small epistle of John, First John chapter 2, verse 18. Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. So many different areas that are Antichrist that we face every single day. We're bombarded with the Antichrist movement in schools, in media, in entertainment, in conversations with others, in behaviors, in government, and all around us. It's being taught to our children. It's being implanted in our minds every single day, coming at us from all directions. Antichrist attitudes, Antichrist activities, Antichrist movements, all this stuff that is contrary to Christianity. And they'll even lift up and promote and boost up Antichrist religions and activities. Like Brother Paul was telling me this morning, some prisoners that were taken as a group and sat down in front of a Baptist minister to hear the message. They turned around and sued and got money because they were felt like they had religious persecution because they had to sit there and listen to a Baptist preacher. That's just crazy. But yet that's the direction that our government is going. They're lifting up and promoting an Antichrist religion in doing so. Giving that ungodly Antichrist bunch, pagan believers, money because they had to sit and listen to a word of God being preached, the true God, not their pagan God, Allah, the moon. But yet, that's the kind of attitude that they have out here in the world. It's that Antichrist attitude. They are against Jesus Christ. Just like forcing our military to suppress their prayers. They cannot pray in the name of Jesus Christ. A military chaplain that comes to pray over a wounded soldier cannot pray for that soldier in the name of Jesus Christ. If you're not with me, you're against me. 1 John chapter 4, in verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit. See, this is what's going on. There are many spirits out there. They're Antichrist spirits. They are demons. They are skilled. They are powerful. They are manipulative because they are of Satan. They can tug at your heartstrings. They can tug at your intelligence. They can display themselves as being something of God, and yet they are not. But it tells us here, we've got to test that. You've got to try them. You've got to look at that a little closer. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Okay, he's going to give you the test. What can you do to determine whether this is of God, true and living God, Jesus Christ, or not? Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. It's very simple. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. So no matter what behavior that they want to promote, no matter how morally virtuous it may be, if they deny that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, it's Antichrist. There are religions out there that are very prominent. They come door to door, two by two, knocking on your door. They'll even talk a little bit about Jesus. They'll talk about the prophet Jesus. They'll talk about Jesus died for our sins. And that's as far as they take it. They're not acknowledging Jesus Christ for who he truly is. God in the flesh come down, took on flesh to live amongst us, lived and died, stayed in the ground 3 days, rose again, stayed around some 40 days preaching and teaching, and then ascended to the Father. They deny all that second part of that and third part of that. They just look at it, the part that they cannot deny because it's documented in so many different areas, even in secular world history, of Jesus Christ being sacrificed on the cross. They cannot deny that. No way. But they alter it. They pervert it. They leave the deity of Jesus Christ out of it and convince millions of people to come and follow them. And it is Antichrist because they're not truly believing in Jesus Christ as God who come down and took on flesh and lived amongst us and ascended back up, sits on the right hand of the Father right now. They leave all that out. Test them next time they come knocking on your door and talk to them. Don't invite them in and sit down on your couch and welcome them in and then bid them Godspeed as they leave. Otherwise, you become a participant in that behavior, in their actions. They're promoted by that and they go on and they further use that. So don't be a part of that. But if you want to have a quick conversation with them, ask them a couple simple questions. Do you believe in Jesus Christ as God in the flesh who came down, took on flesh, lived amongst us, died, rose again, stayed around some 40 days, ascended to the Father, sits on the right hand of God, our great high priest, our payment for our sins? A simple sentence or two will test them very quickly. You'll see a change come over their face, like, oh, here's somebody who knows the truth. I haven't got much that I can accomplish here. You'll see them turn around and go off your porch. They cannot win a battle against that, because it will be revealed that they are Antichrist, not Christ. Ye, speaking to the true Christians, are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. He that is in the world is the Antichrist. We got to know that when we are true Christians, we have the Holy Ghost within us, that power, that awesome power that is there to tap into, to access when you're in that confrontation, when you're in that opportunity to lead someone to Jesus Christ, to pull them out of that false Antichrist religion. They might be thinking that they're doing something good because it has some moral value to it. It helps society. It helps their fellow man. In this world, in this realm, does absolutely nothing for them for eternity, but it might help them for a time down here. So you start thinking, well, that's a good cause. Is it? If it just makes somebody comfortable while they're here and leaves them to go to hell and the lake of fire for eternity, is it really good? Has it got any more moral value to it if you abandon them where it really counts? And that is bringing them to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That's what's important. That's what we need to focus on. They are of the world. Therefore speak they of the world. To always help the children, help the planet, help the animals. And the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So much of this is going on. It's so prevalent. And it is because it's the last days. We are right upon it. Over in the next epistle of John, the second epistle, in verse 7, for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. See, he's qualifying that again. Jesus Christ, come in the flesh. So Jesus, the Lord of salvation. Christ, the anointed one, come in the flesh. Come down, lived amongst us. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. It's very clear. A lot of preachers, even a lot of people, avoid using the term or the word antichrist or title antichrist because of its significance during the tribulation time and so forth. But it's clearly an active force in the world today and growing in its power. The attitude of antichrist, not the antichrist of the tribulation days, which is going to be an individual possessed by the demon that is doing a work during the tribulation time. That's not who I'm speaking of here. It is the mindset, is the attitude, is the belief system that he is going to stand on that is already in place in this world. All the way back here in the first century when John was writing about it. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. The work that you have done as a Christian, if you get off track, if you start endorsing or promoting or benefiting something that is anti-Christ, you are doing a harmful work. You can lose some of your reward because you are doing something that's contrary to building the kingdom of God. That's what he's speaking of here. We've got to be very careful what we do, what we get involved in, what we contribute to, what we donate to, what we endorse. And that endorsement is something that's in the news today with these people that are endorsing certain presidential candidates that are for abortion, saying that, well, there's nothing wrong with that. It's just an unviable tissue mass. It's not a person until it's born and breathing. Craziness. Supporting that. Supporting same-sex marriage, ungodly abomination that is, that the scriptures clearly tell us it is. A recent poll was given, there was more than half the Christians that they polled in this particular poll were okay with abortion. That's a total contradiction to true Christianity. Oh, it's okay, go ahead and murder your child. It's the craziness that's out there. And if they're involved in that, if they're endorsing that, if they're saying it's okay, go ahead, they just became an associate with that, partakers in that sinful behavior, and it will cost them their rewards. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, this is the truth of Christ, hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, the truth and the belief in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, took on flesh, lived amongst us, died on that cross, paid the price of all sins, all mankind, past, present, and future, raised from that grave, stayed around some 40 days, preaching and teaching, ascended to the Father, sits on the right hand of the Father. If they do not teach that, believe that, that's the doctrine he is speaking of here. Receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. You become connected and associated with that kind of behavior. Having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, But I trust to come unto you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. The children of the elect, sister, greet thee. Amen. The greeting and letter that this was actually written to a particular lady by John. Up here in the beginning of it, you read it, the elder unto the elect lady and her children. Some say that this was just a reference to the church itself. Others say this was a particular woman that John was writing this letter to. But we can apply all of this to our lives. Seeing this is very important that we know and learn this message. Don't endorse the ungodly behavior. Don't endorse those that are antichrist. Don't give them a thank you or a donation or a Godspeed, as it said. That means go in peace or go spread your lies. Go ahead. We endorse you. Approve it. It's okay. And these craziness that are approving abortion, approving same-sex marriage, approving sinful behaviors in all kinds of other ways. We go on and on all night about that. Simple words of Jesus in John chapter 14, verse 6. He said, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It is only by Jesus Christ, the only way that you're going to get to the Heavenly Father, only way that you're going to have everlasting life, only way that you're going to become one of the joint heirs of Jesus Christ is to believe in Jesus for who He truly is and not all these other things out there that are antichrist. Because as He said, he that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Let's pray. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for the awesome opportunity and ability to be able to become one of Yours by Your finished work, to be able to be adopted into Your family and be able to receive all those many, many blessings here and for eternity. Help us to stay focused on what is true and what is correct, and help us to share that with others as well. And help us to take every step in the right direction that we need to take and bring honor and glory through You in everything that we do, as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen.